Praise God, he's good all the time. I'm going to talk to you today a little bit, and the title to my sermon, if you want to put a title on it, is called Impressions You Leave. Okay? Impressions That You Leave. And, you know, I said something to you about my sister-in-law passing away, and I thank you all for your prayers, and, we went to her memorial service. Didn't have an actual funeral, but we went to her memorial service the other night. And when we were there, Lisa, her daughter, you know, we were never around Lisa and Ray Michael that much. Ray Michael comes out here sometimes, and we've helped send him on missionary trips and different things. And but his sister Lisa, we weren't around them that much because they kind of went their way and did their thing, and we didn't see them very much. And we'd invite them. We'd see them at Christmas time and at Thanksgiving at Minnie's house when they would come there, Margaret's mother's. And Lisa, a friend of hers, had told her that she must go to church someplace, and she had had this minister friend come and do the memorial service. And you know, as this guy got up to do the memorial service, I really kind of felt sorry for him because he didn't know Kathy, my sister-in-law, at all, you know. And he was really struggling. I mean, he was having a rough time. And some people kept saying to me, "Well, Oscar, why didn't they ask you to do it? Why should they had you do it?" You know, and this and that. But you know, I sat there and I prayed for that guy. And my brother-in-law was sitting next to me, one of my other brother-in-laws, and he said, "He's really struggling, isn't he?" And I said, "Yeah, he is." I said, "It's hard when you don't know the person, you know." And I said, "He doesn't know Kathy." And he got up and he talked about himself. And basically just talked about himself all the time he was up there, you know. And, you know, the people were kind of getting restless, and, you know, you could see it was kind of a struggle. And anyway, you know, I just kind of sat there and I prayed for him. I just said, "Lord, you know, just minister to this brother, you know." But anyway, what I wanted to tell you is the impression that you leave on people, that's a lasting thing, you know. And in, if you will, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read you verse 2 through 6. And this is out of the New Living Translation. And whether we realize it or not, our lives are a book, an open book to everybody that we come in contact with. And, you know, I'm going to read you this out of this New Living Translation. It says, "The only letter or recommendation we need is you ourselves, is you yourselves. Your lives are better, are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good works among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the results of our ministry among you. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is not carved on tables of stone, but on the human hearts. We are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of the new covenant. This is the covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death. But under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life." You know, a lot of times people, you know, there's people that I've heard that can get up and they're very eloquent in the way that they speak and their English is perfect, and that's not me. I murder English all the time. And I used to sit back when I was a younger man a lot of times, and I would think, "Lord, why in the world do you have me explaining Greek and Hebrew to people when I don't have a tremendous grasp on English at times, you know. But you know, God takes foolish things to confound the wise. And he takes little things to bring down the big things sometimes. And I just want to tell you, you know, I used to sit and think, why don't you have Dick or somebody up there? He was an English teacher, you know, or somebody. And he didn't, you know. But God chooses, like I say, the foolish things to confound the wise. And, you know, I'm going to read you this other thing. It says, knowledge and eloquence are often overrated. Never underestimate the power of what God has done for you. Don't be afraid to tell your story to others. You know, each one of you has a story, and each one of you is a book, per se. Your life reads volumes to everybody that you come in contact with. And I just want you to know that don't be afraid to share your story. Share it with people. Tell them your testimony. Tell them what God's done for you. I'm telling you, that'll do more sometimes. You know, I learned a long time ago, I can get up here and quote you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and you'll walk out the door, and you might remember a couple of the scriptures that I said to you. But I learned a long time ago, if I get up here and tell you a story, you'll remember that story. And you know, we was just talking about back in Sunday school, and I was telling people how sometimes when God shows me something scripturally, he'll graphically show it to me. He graphically shows it to me at times. And I was telling them about the situation, and I've shared this before, about one in the old house that we used to live in. We had a kind of a smaller yard, but we had like a big hill in the front, and then we had like about 40, I think the size of our lot was 40 feet by 90 feet long, and it wasn't a very big lot. And in the back, it was about 40 feet. Well, my job was to cut the grass, and Margaret's job was to weed the flower bed, you know. And Brother Eddie had asked me to speak back years ago, and when he had asked me to speak, you know, the Lord had given me the scripture that my people perish for lack of vision, you know, because they don't have vision. And then he had given me the scripture of Jesus when he prayed for the blind man, you know. And I didn't really know the context of exactly how he wanted me to bring that, you know. I mean, and a lot of times the Lord will do that. He'll drop scriptures on you, and you shouldn't try to figure them out. What you should try to do is just wait and say, okay, Lord, you show me, or you show me what you want me to do with these scriptures. And that's basically what I learned to do. And I was out cutting the grass in the backyard, and like I said, I shared this in Sunday school, but I'm going to share it again. I was out cutting grass in the backyard, and I got over by this flower bed, and this flower bed we had was probably about maybe, I don't know, maybe 5-6 feet wide, 40 feet, and 40 feet long. It was the width of the yard. And we had ornamental tree and a few grasses and a little bit of flowers in there and stuff. And I walked back there, and I saw these big old weeds sticking up about this high. And I actually got a little bit perturbed at Margaret, because it was her job to weed the flower bed, and it was my job to cut the grass. And I thought, man, she ain't weeded this thing in forever. Look at them things. And I hadn't noticed them before, and I don't know why I hadn't noticed them, because I'd cut the grass, but I hadn't noticed them. And it seemed like they grew up almost overnight. I wonder if Jack threw some beanstalk beans in there or something or whatever, but it seemed like those things came up pretty quick. But anyway, I noticed them, and I thought, well, I'm gonna tell her she should have weeded this. And I pulled these things up, and I broke them, and I threw them on the ground. There was about two or three of them. I can't remember exact amount. She comes out onto the deck, and she starts hollering at me. What are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She says, you broke my trees. I said, your trees? I said, them things look like weeds. I said, I broke them. She says, them were my trees. She said, they grow really fast. I was going to plant them along the hillside. They grow up really fast. They would have shaded the deck. And then instantly, as she was talking to me, the Lord was talking to me. And he was giving me those scriptures. My people perish for lack of vision. And he also was dealing with me about the blind man. And I began to see. And that scripture was, Jesus anointed the eyes of the blind man. And when he anointed the eyes of the blind man, he said, what do you see? He said, I see men walking about as trees. And he said, he prayed for him again. He said, now what do you see? I see every man clearly, he said. And I thought, oh, Lord, you just graphically showed me that with these trees. I didn't see them as trees. I saw them as weeds. And I just broke them and threw them on the ground. And I began to realize that we have to see every man as a potential tree-bearing, a fruit-bearing tree of God. And when we do, then we're not going to want to destroy them, but we're going to want to water them, to cultivate them, to do whatever, to maybe put a little fertilizer there and watch them just flourish and grow. And that's what we need to do. And, you know, like I was telling you here, knowledge and eloquence are often overrated. Never underestimate the power of what God has done for you. Don't be afraid to tell your story to others. And in the New Living Translation, again, in Mark the 5th chapter, Jesus tells a story there of a man that he encountered who was demon-possessed. And they said this man, he hung out among the graveyards, and they'd try to bind him, and he'd just break the binds, and they'd try to put chains on him. And they said he must have been a pretty strong guy. They said he'd put chains on him and said he'd pick the fetters of iron apart, and no man could bind him. And when Jesus, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ, then Jesus cast the demons out of him, and he was in his right mind. When Jesus was done, he was getting ready to get into the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged him that he could go with him. But Jesus said unto him, no, go home to your family and tell them everything that the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. And then it goes on and it says, so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region. He didn't just go home. He went out and started telling everybody what Jesus had done. And the 10 towns of that region, and began to proclaim the great things that Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he had told them. You know, every face that we encounter, you have someone, regardless of how brief, you leave something behind, if only an impression. And you know, you can meet somebody one time, and you can say, you know, I could tell they were really a nice person, you know? Or sometimes you can meet them and say, whoa, they weren't very nice, you know. So everybody that you come in contact with and that comes in contact with you leaves an impression. And a lot of times it's a first impression. And it's not always the true impression, because you can catch somebody on a bad day and they can be a really nice person and they won't be too nice to you, you know. But if it's a really nice person, they'll try to get back with you and apologize and tell you, man, I'm sorry, that wasn't me. I was having an off day or something. But I want you to know that we leave impressions everywhere we go. We always leave something with people that we come in contact. And you know, this other little thing I'm going to read you here, it says, if you wish to enrich days, plant flowers. If you wish to enrich rich years, plant trees. Because they'll grow for years. But I'm going to tell you, I put this down. If you wish to enrich eternity, plant Jesus Christ in the love of God. Because if you do that, their lives will never be the same. And his word never returns void. You know, this was written by Oswald Chambers, and I really like it. A river touches places which its source knows nothing. Jesus said, if you have received of his fullness, however small the visible measure of our lives, out of us flows rivers that will bless the uttermost parts of the earth. We have nothing to do with the outflow. And I got news for you. Realize that every day you have the potential to totally change somebody's life. And just being nice to somebody sometimes can make a world of difference. Or just treating somebody good, or just saying something really nice to somebody when you could say something hateful, or when you could say something mean, or maybe they've treated you bad. And I'm gonna read you one more quote here. And it says here, whom you would first change, you must first love. Whom you would first change, you must first love. And that was written by Martin Luther King. And you know, he practiced nonviolence. And I believe he had the ideal that you had to love people before you could ever really change them. And, you know, I believe he loved people, even people that persecuted him and people that treated him badly, you know. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus told us that we should love one another, that this was the greatest commandment. And that's just not talking about Christians. That's just talking about family. That's talking about everybody that we come in contact with. And, you know, if we want to leave the right impression upon people, then we need to start even saying to ourselves, what I'm about to say to this other person, how would I react if somebody said the same thing to me? And a lot of times you won't say what you were going to say. And I had to kind of laugh in a way. One of my other brother-in-laws was at the memorial service, and it wasn't funny, but you'd have to know Margaret's one brother that lost his wife. He's very direct, and he doesn't hold nothing back. And he came up to my one brother-in-law, and he hadn't seen him probably in, I don't know, years. And he said to him, he said, "Man, Kenny, what's the matter with you? You look really bad." And I thought, whoa. He said, "You look bad." And I was thinking, man. But you know what? Kenny's really sick. He's sick a lot, and he does look bad, you know. I mean, he was telling it like it was, but he's sick a lot. But you know what? A lot of times we might be better off to say, "Hey, how are you doing? I'm praying for you." You know, well, Ray's not really giving his life to the Lord at this point. But so many times we blurt out things and we put people in a more negative attitude than in a positive attitude. And I just want you to know that we have the ability that every time we come in contact with somebody, we either leave something there. It's either something very positive or something very negative. And we have the ability, if we will, to leave something positive, to leave love, to leave encouragement, to leave strength, to leave prayers or whatever. You know, I know a lot of times when I'm around people, they'll say, "Well, Oscar, you're kind of quiet. You don't say a lot." Well, if I haven't got something good to say, a lot of times I try not to say too much, you know. And I don't say I always succeed in that, but you know, it's one of those situations to where the power of life and death is in the tongue. You can speak life to every situation or every circumstance, or you can speak death to it. And you know what? I want to be one of them that will speak life. I want to be one of them that will speak encouragement. I want to be one of them that will tell people what Jesus has already accomplished, what he has already done. You know, so many times in life, we feel like that, you know, we don't have the answers for what's going on. And that's like with Ray and Kathy, with that situation with her passing away. We were over there, and, you know, I had felt like Kathy was going to pass away pretty soon. But I spent most of my time outside with her brother because I felt like he needed me to be out there with him. He was out on the patio. And I just stayed out there with him. and I just let him talk, you know. And Ray is a talker. I mean, he'll talk your ear off, you know, and he just talked and talked and talked. But Margaret's sister Helen told me later on that he told her that he really appreciated me staying out there with him because he really needed to do that. And I didn't say very much to him. I mean, I just basically stayed out there with him, talked with him a little bit. She hadn't passed away yet. But, I mean, he was pretty shocked because when she came home, he thought that she was probably going to be okay. And when the hospice people come, the lady said to him, said, "Have you made any arrangements?" And he said, "What do you mean, arrangements?" And she said, "I mean arrangements for a funeral." And he said, "I thought, why are you saying that?" He said, "She doesn't have long." He said, the lady says, it's going to be a matter of days before she passes away. And, you know, Ray was really knocked for a loop because he thought she was going to be okay. But you know what? God knows. And, you know, when that minister got up and he shared the things that he'd shared, I was thinking, it's a shame that he didn't know Kathy. You know, Kathy had called me one time years ago and told me, and I mean, I hadn't seen Kathy for a long time. She called me up on the phone one time. And she says, "Junior," she says, they called me Junior. She says, "Junior," she says, "I just want to tell you." She says, "I went to church last night, and I went forward and gave my life to the Lord." And I said, "Oh, Kathy, that's wonderful." And, you know, I don't know that she continued to walk with the Lord real close or anything. Because, I mean, she was like everybody else. She was out doing her thing and all this kind of stuff. But I was able to tell Ray, I said, "You know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." And I said, when she gave her life to the Lord, I said, he was right there with her. And I said, he never left her or he never forsook her. But, you know, it's one of those things sometimes that you just, you know, you come to find out that God will graphically show you things. He'll graphically show you things in other people's lives. And a lot of times we just need to be open to whatever the Lord wants us to do. And I don't know what will come out of all of this. But I tell you what, I'm believing that it'll be a positive thing before it's all over with. I'm believing that that God will get a hold of some of the rest of them's lives that haven't committed their lives to the Lord. You know, and I told Ray, I said, "I remember when you went to church with me a few times. I took him downtown to some evangelists years ago when he was younger." I said, and he was really impressed with what he saw, but he hasn't made that commitment to the Lord. But, you know, I know he was spending time praying, and he was asking the Lord to take his wife quickly so that she didn't suffer a lot. And, you know, he did take her quickly, and I believe the Lord answered his prayer. And that's a hard thing to pray when you're losing a loved one, is to pray, "Lord, take them quickly," because we usually want to say, "Lord, hang them on." But I tell you, God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows, and he'll get glory in every situation and every circumstance. And all those people over in Iraq and all these different places where these ISIS people are trying to kill Christianity, you know, all they're going to do is, the more Christians they kill, the more that word will get spread, the more God will get glory, the more that his power will move in that land. And don't be surprised if some of them very same Muslims that are killing them don't end up being the ones out preaching the word before it's all over with, because God is a great God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. And if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And if anybody like prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you. If anybody has a need or a testimony you want to give, you feel free to do that too. But Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come into your presence right now, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you that you're a mighty God. And we thank you, Lord, that each one of us is an epistle read and known of men. And that, Father, let our epistle be one of, let it be a love story. Let it be a story that will talk about the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the goodness of God, and not be one that's a horror story that will just talk about all the negative things. And Father, just help us each and every day as we go forth, to even bridle our tongues and to get quiet and still before you and only speak that word of life that you would give to us each and every day. And Lord, if we don't have something positive to say, let us just learn to keep our mouth shut and say nothing. I just thank you for what you're doing in your people, and I just thank you for the blessing that they are, and I thank you for the blessing that they're going to continue to be, and I thank you for everything you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.